From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow American, Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for April the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Becky Akers with me. 2 hour special broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, normally I really try to keep each hour of radio independent so that you could just listen to 1 hour, etc. But on occasion, it's vital to do a 2 hour broadcast on a given set of topics. This is one of those times. Last hour, we talked about Ammon Bundy. We talked about prophecy. We talked about being involved in what we can control and what we can do something about. And I think Ammon Bundy is doing that. At the end of that hour, and you got to listen to that to be caught up on this hour. But at the end of that hour, Becky Akers said, hey, I appreciate Ammon Bundy. I think he's a wonderful patriot. He's doing the best he can, but I don't think it's going to be enough. And sadly, ladies and gentlemen, I think Becky's correct. That doesn't take away from the heroic efforts of Ammon Bundy or any other patriot that fights for the sacred cause of liberty. But it does articulate that, you know what, these people are evil. And when the majority of the American people don't do anything, and when I say the majority, I mean the vast majority. We only needed, what, 3 to 5% to fight for the American Revolution back in the day, so we don't need a whole lot. But we don't even have close to that many people advocating for liberty. Not people who will put their money where their mouth is. Not people like Ammon Bundy who have the guts to really break it on down and go all the way with this thing. Right? It's a different ballgame. Anyway, I bring all that up, Becky, to kind of let you finish on your thought. I didn't mean to cut you off before the end of the hour. But, you know, look, this is an epic battle. And we must do all that we can within our control. And I think Ammon's pushback is exposing the criminality that most people didn't realize exists, and now more and more and more Americans are starting to realize and go, wait a minute, there is a problem. So the Great Awakening to some degree is taking place, Becky.
Yes, and Sam, I've been very encouraged. I think that our rulers did a marvelous job of recruiting many Americans, educating them on liberty this past year. I think a lot of Americans have come up short looking at what totalitarianism looks like. I think they've been shocked at what their government has done to them. And I've been very encouraged, Sam, as I see people who ordinarily wouldn't think would care much about freedom or political philosophy get on YouTube and pontificate on it as though they are Milton Friedman. Okay, I'm thinking specifically of the owners of the gym in New Jersey, who I don't know if you're familiar with that video, but it did go viral, and he basically held up placards. The owner of this gym held up placards, and one of them I remember said, "Free men don't ask permission." Now, that may seem elemental, but it really is an advanced concept in freedom, because what it's doing is it is saying no licensing. And that's not something most people who, most Americans, that's not something most Americans would be familiar with. The idea, you know, everybody just accepts, well, I got to license my car. And of course, businesses are licensed and that protects me. And a contractor, I got to have a licensed contractor. They never reflect on the fact that this is asking the government for permission to drive a car. It's asking the government for permission to earn your living. Okay, so most Americans, you know, reflexively are in favor of licensing. Here is a gym owner saying, no, free men don't ask permission. Okay, free men don't go to the government and say, can I, please, may I? So that's very, very encouraging after this last year to watch how many Americans are waking up, how many are realizing, you know what, government is our enemy. And I want to assure everybody, our rulers already know that it's us against them. We are the ones who have been slow waking up to that. These people know, these people that are persecuting Ammon Bundy, who, by the way, had he been alive about 250 years ago, would have been a general in the Continental Army, and recognized as a patriot. Instead of being vilified and persecuted, he'd be a huge, huge national hero for the new American country. What he is doing, as you said, Sam, we would need many Americans doing for it to succeed. I just don't think that one man or a handful, there are other people like him elsewhere in the country, but very, very few. But that's what we would need, is a country of people like Ammon Bundy before that could succeed, or at least I would say a good percentage, 30 to 50%, before we could peaceably succeed at what he's trying to do.
I agree 100%, and I commend Ammon Bundy for his efforts, and I don't disagree with him on standing up to expose criminal activity, but I agree that if we don't stand together, we all hang separately is kind of the problem, and so it's a big battle, and that doesn't take away from what Ammon's doing. It just highlights the trouble we're in. Ammon basically ended his kind of statements by saying, look, I'm either stupid and crazy, or, you know what, we've got a real problem. And I tend to agree with him. It is a real problem. You got Joe Biden's executive order against guns, worldaffairsbrief.com with the article on this, with a breakdown of the details. But look, this president literally is saying, you don't have a Second Amendment. I have every right as king to simply obliterate that with an executive order. I can make law. And I can be judge, jury, and executioner on that law. And that's kind of what he's saying from the Oval Office right now. He should be arrested on the spot, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He should be arrested for having stolen the election. I think that that is beyond dispute. There is far too much evidence to say that he and his Democratic sidekicks didn't steal this election. I actually don't think he was directly involved. I don't think he's got the intellect to be directly involved in something like that. I'm sure you've all seen the memes of him looking wistfully out of the White House window and with the caption, what happens when they tell you it's too windy outside? So I don't think he's got the intellectual or moral capability to have stolen the election, but he's a puppet and a figurehead, and he's absolutely unconstitutional for him to be where he is. We need to get him out of there. And the only way I see that happen is by bringing force against them.
Do you think that they're going to force vaccine passports on us to travel, to enter stores? They might not be able to control every business, but what they'll do is they'll, behind the scenes, twist the arms and give special privilege to a lot of these corporate national and international chains. A lot of these companies now are saying, we don't even care if the governors lift mask mandates or anything else. You're going to wear masks in our store. It's private property. We can do what we want. But behind the scenes, there's kind of a twist of the arm, quid pro quo between government and these big companies, these big corporate chains, to where they're going to force masks. And some of the airlines and some of the travel organizations are starting to even say, hey, we're going to have a vaccine passport. New York, as you know, your state's literally doubled down and said, hey, we're going to have a passport here, a vaccine passport. You got to have it. Is that where they're going next, you think?
I think they're being a little more clever than that, Sam, and it is to our detriment, as is everything they do. Let me say that most of the people who read my columns and my books are people who already love liberty. Rarely I will get somebody who disagrees entirely, but most people, we just live in an echo chamber society right now. Most people who are reading me agree or are close to agreeing with us. So that makes what I'm about to say even more discouraging. I heard from a gentleman yesterday defending the right of private business to require us to wear masks. It's not the government doing that, you know. It's a private business. And you know what? If he wants to see a vaccine passport before I go into his business, why, it's private property. He has the right to do that. I raised the point to him that, really, you don't think this is being done under coercion or under corruption, that the government is giving them quid pro quo when they go along with the agenda. No, no, no. And even if they do, that's his decision to make. Okay, we have Friends of Liberty defending the right, quote, of a private business to require such satanic measures from us because after all, it's private property. This is diabolically clever. And I have read and researched several articles that are saying that's how it's going to operate. And Biden's White House so far, that moron who is his spokeswoman, has said a few times now, they're all liars. It doesn't mean she's telling the truth, but she has said a few times, no, we're not going to be involved in vaccine passports. Absolutely not. No, we're not going to require a national vaccine, and we're certainly not going to be doing passports. We're just going to provide guidelines for private businesses if they want to. Now, you know that guidelines from D.C. are mandatory. We all know that they operate in a corrupt manner and that money changes hands and people go by the guidelines. So I don't think it's going to be necessary. The other, for a national mandate or national passport, national vaccine, anything like that, the other really horrifying thing about all this is that the media whores, and I use that word advisedly, not to shock or offend anybody, but the media whores have done such an excellent job terrifying Americans. Okay, now they've of course been aided by the public schools that have dumbed everybody down. They don't even understand basic science. But they have done nothing 24/7 the last year except to terrify people.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Becky Akers with us. We're talking about liberty, how to preserve liberty, what they're doing against us, and how we should respond. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Matt Staver, well-known attorney with Liberty Counsel, just emailed me and said, Sam, we have Biden's vax passport plan. Yeah, there's documentation to prove it. They had a PowerPoint presentation. Press Secretary Psaki and Joe Biden flat out lying, and they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They have vaccination passport plans. Ladies and gentlemen, this will anger Americans like you've never seen before, because if you can force someone to take the jab, to literally inject experimental vaccine serum into your veins by force. I don't know if it's the mark of the beast, folks, or not, but I know this. It is diabolical, satanic, and evil. And if they can do that, what can't they mandate? Let's ask that. What can they not mandate if they can mandate this? This is, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, a Rubicon precipice that if we cross, I don't know that there'll ever be a turning back. Okay, once they get that kind of power, these psychopaths foaming at the mouth will stop at nothing. And that's really what we're dealing with, folks. Make no mistake about that reality check. I agree with Becky that, you know what, these people are evil, that they need to be stopped, they need to be arrested. They're out of control, and they have no authority to mandate this. They're lying. It reminds me of the Agenda 21 plans on property rights, by the way, where they claimed we're just going to be local facilitators. We're going to help you to craft your own unique local plan. And it turned out once we dug and dug and found the documents, it was a global, international, United Nations plan that was locally facilitated by expert facilitators in your community. And you believed that it was local and that you were participating in the process. But they were lying to you and building consensus around this global plan that they already had in place. And yeah, they'd let you make a choice or two here or there about, you know, hey, you want language A or language B in the document, stuff like that. They made you feel like you were part of the process, but it was all a big old scandal, a lie. That's been opposed and pushed back by good patriots to the point where now they had to rename Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030. And they'll probably have to push it back again if we can be eternally vigilant. So the battle for liberty continues, ladies and gentlemen. This is nothing new. The battle for freedom versus tyranny, life versus death, has been going on since Cain killed Abel, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the pro-death folks, the pro-tyranny folks, they've wanted tyranny for over 6,000 years. They haven't got it yet, and they're not going to get it on our watch either. We're going to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. I know it seems dire. I know it seems difficult. I know it seems like there's just no way to deal with it, but there is, folks. We, the people, can make a difference, and the most important thing to do is to do all that you can and then trust in your God. So they're going to push for these passports. There's no doubt about it. The question is how much we push back. Will they get their way or will we push back and stop it? I pray the latter, that we push back and stop it. But here's what they're doing to take you and I out of the game, and Ammon Bundy and everybody else. Here it is. Headline USA Today says this. White supremacist propaganda on the rise, they say. White supremacist propaganda on the rise. Now, I get that there are racist people in the world, and shame on them. But you know what? The masses are not racist, okay? It's a big lie. They say incidents of white supremacist propaganda hit an all-time high in 2020. According to a new report from the Anti-Defamation League LDL Center on Extremism, which has tracked racist propaganda for decades, anti-Semitic, racist, and anti-GL or gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender posters, flyers, and graffiti everywhere were recorded over 5,125 times in 2020, according to the report. Almost twice the number of incidences that were reported in 2019. The report released documents every state as being involved except for the state of Hawaii. It includes 130 incidents of white supremacists putting up banners, 56 in-person white supremacist events, and 283 incidents of anti-Semitic language or propaganda that specifically targeted Jewish institutions. A 68% increase from 2019, they say. Oren Siegel, vice president of the Center on Extremism, says the increased propaganda is another indication of how divided America has truly become. As the pandemic, social justice protests, and a polarizing election were not enough, one of the other things we've been dealing with is a significant increase in efforts by white supremacists spreading their messages around the globe. What the numbers suggest is what they call a doubling down in what they view as a successful tactic. At least 30 different white supremacist groups distributed flyers, put up posters, and they've literally promoted their agenda in public and private spaces. They say their messages range from Nazi propaganda to coded language that disguise white supremacist messages, inside expressions of patriotism and nationalism. They say, believe it or not, a few organizations are responsible for more than 90% of the propaganda. The most active group by far was Texas-based Patriot Front, headed by Thomas Rousseau, which was behind 4,105 of the incidents. Patriot Fund masks its racism in vague phrases like America First, Reclaim America, But the group's official manifesto makes it and its white supremacist goals crystal clear. Anyway, they go on and on and on and on. They say they use Telegram. They use all kinds of online and offline capabilities, etc. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. But they basically say everybody is becoming a white supremacist. And if you say you're not, well, it's your coded language. And you may be so, based on critical race theory, you may be so privileged in your white supremacy that you don't even know you're a white supremacist, okay? So this is diabolical how they're deceiving the people and dividing the country over these false narratives. In fact, it's so bad. It's so bad that even former NBA star Charles Barkley caught him at their game and said, you know what? Most black people and white people are good people. These dividers are doing so for political gain and control over us, and it's got to stop. Becky, that's how they're dividing us so that we can't gain the mojo that our greater numbers would require to stop them.
Yes, that is a prime tactic of government and especially of Marxists. Let me say that Marxists pretty much invented racism. They use it as a tool to get people to accept their satanic philosophy. It's manipulation. It's based on lies. Sam, I'm just not familiar with NFL at all, but I saw his quote online and just stood up and cheered. He's absolutely right. People are generally willing to get along with each other. You know, one of the things I have learned from living in New York City, the ethnicity capital of the world, is that virtually every ethnic group prefers its own kind. Okay, there are a few people here and there who want to have a broad variety of people from different backgrounds as friends, but most people really enjoy being with their own kind. There is nothing wrong with that. For Marxists to make it into such a huge deal, what is going on is they are absolutely, as you said, Sam, trying to divide us, trying to keep us from understanding that our true enemies are the politicians and bureaucrats who are attempting to lord it over us. So anytime you hear these claims of white supremacists, you should realize that Marxists are behind it, and they are trying hard to take over this country. They are hoping to keep us all fighting amongst ourselves so that we cannot fight their satanic agenda.
Now, they've taken this white supremacist idea, and they've now merged it with a term called phobia. All right. Now, listen carefully to this, because you are anti-Semitic, you are, and they go on, and then they use this word. To begin, we need to understand the word phobia, okay? The meaning of the word comes from the Greek word phobos, meaning fear, okay? A specific object, fear, activity, etc. It goes on and on. So what they want to say is, you know what, you're phobic. You're white and you're phobic. And what that means is that, you know what, you hate everything. You are against everything. You are fearful of everything. What they're doing is they're basically putting you in this label box. So now you're a white, you're a Christian, and you're a phobic. And between those three words, white, Christian, phobic, they're going to literally put you in a speech prison, a thought prison, a behavioral prison. To where you're probably an anti-vaxxer too, aren't you? You probably are one of those people that believe that the birth thing for Barack Obama was a thing. You're a birther, you're a truther, you're a phobic, you're a white, you're a supremacist, you're a Christian, you're a hater, and between all these labels, then now they've basically shut us out of the debate entirely. And the mainstream press is all too willing to carry the ball, Becky.
Yes, they are. The mainstream press is okay. You think Pravda was Marxist? It doesn't hold a chance in the same
time. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Becky Akers with me. We are talking about interesting times in which we live and what can we do to change the game. I got a couple of ideas for solutions. Becky has some as well, and we'll talk about that coming up on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Concerns growing over the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Georgia yesterday temporarily shuts down a site where the J&J vaccine is being administered. That's because 8 people who got their shots there got sick. USC Professor of Medicine David Agus on CBS News.
This is, you know, a really potent vaccine. And what we're seeing is some of those potency relating in a very rare side effect that we just have to be aware of.
Georgia now the third state to pause giving out the J&J vaccine due to side effects among some recipients. North Carolina and Colorado, the others, the CDC investigating. NASA planning to break another barrier. The space agency announcing yesterday that under the Artemis program, a person of color will step on the moon for the first time ever. NASA earlier announcing the first woman on the moon will be part of the program. Artemis expected to launch in 2024. So far, 12 people have walked on the moon, all of them American men. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Medical experts taking the stand yesterday in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer accused of murdering George Floyd. Forensic pathologist Dr. Lindsay Thomas testifying for the prosecution on the impact Chauvin's actions had on Floyd's death.
This is a death where both the heart and lungs stopped working. And the point is that it's due to law enforcement subdual restraint and compression. That is kind of what ultimately is the immediate cause of death, is the subdual restraint and compression.
Hennepin County Chief Medical Examiner Dr. David Baker, the one who ruled Floyd's death a homicide. During his testimony yesterday, he says Floyd's pre-existing medical conditions, including heart disease, played a role in his death, but they were not a direct cause. Congressman Matt Gaetz under more scrutiny. The House Ethics Committee announcing yesterday it's now investigating the Florida Republican. This coming after the New York Times reports the Justice Department is investigating Gaetz for sex trafficking, paying women for sex, and having sex with an underage girl. Gaetz denies all of it, and no charges have been filed. This is USA Radio News.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. So this is some heavy topics, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about tyranny and their quest to push for tyranny and all the efforts they're doing to make it so. The American people are waking up, amazingly enough, more so than I thought they would. The battle's on, though. The problem is it may be too late to peacefully deal with this, folks. Let me explain why. You know, Joe's coming for your guns. We talked about that. But I don't know if you know, but it's already about impossible to get ammunition, folks. They've already been working behind the scenes, even during the Trump administration, to literally make ammunition almost impossible to get. So we've got a problem on our hands, that's for sure. And I want to focus on these solutions. Whether they call you a white supremacist, whether they call you a homophobe, the quickest thing you can do is instead of argue against that. Nobody likes to be called a racist. Everybody wants to go, wait a minute, no, I got a black friend. Wait a minute, no, I know Jewish people. I'm not hate-filled. And what you do is you just spend half the time defending yourself. And they already know that you're not a racist, folks. With rare exception, they already know that you're not a racist. They just know it'll shut you up and put you on the defensive and change the topic and derail the conversation as they peddle their lies. You know when they assassinate your character that they don't have any ammunition left in the real discussion or the real debate. Okay, that's why they're going there. So the quickest thing you can do is just laugh it off and just go, whatever, and then stick with the topic at hand. That's solution one that I have. Is we need to really be willing to stand up and push our narrative, which is you criminals need to stop, and we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to turn to our God, to our family, to our country, and get this done. Americans have been kicked in the teeth many a times throughout history, but you know what? We're pretty resilient. But we'll only have success if we turn to our God and stick together. But we need to be smart enough not to fall for their narrative and go off script for our goals. That's number one solution, Becky.
Absolutely, Sam. I think that perhaps our best defensive tactic is to realize precisely what government is. And specifically, the United States government and how it has degenerated from its early days. Supposedly, according to the Constitution, the government was to safeguard our lives and liberties, actually just our liberties. Life in the founding era was considered to be secondary to freedom. So the government was instituted to preserve our rights. It has not been doing that for centuries. We need to realize that. We need to realize that the United States government has become one of the world's most destructive forces of liberty and rights. We have no rights. Ammon Bundy is a perfect example of that. He is exercising his right to go into a building he's paying for, and he's told he's trespassing. Okay, if that doesn't bring home our serfdom, I don't know what will. But we need to recognize what the United States and our state and local governments, too, what they have become. You know, Sam, it's been fascinating to me this last year to watch how much of our lives and society governments at various levels could destroy with their plandemic. Okay, they could go and holler about health and they're going to protect our health. They shut down sporting events. Why is government involved in providing sports? They shut down plays and theater. Why is government in charge of administering theaters? They shut down restaurants. Why is government in charge of inspecting restaurants and then telling them how far apart they can place their tables and that everybody inside must wear a mask? Where does this come from? This is all to illustrate that the United States government at every level, whether you're a municipality, your state, your federal government, every single level has become totally corrupt and totally tyrannical. We need to understand that. And once we do understand that, we make the further leap then to realize that these people are our sworn enemies. The owner of the gym in New Jersey that I referenced earlier has another meme out on the web, and I loved it. He said, have you noticed that everything they've said this last year is to destroy you? And I'm paraphrasing wildly. I encourage everybody to look it up. It's a marvelous quote. Have you noticed that everything they're doing, telling you to do this last year has destroyed you, made you fat and dumb and kept you from exercising and made you sick and robbed you of your livelihood? These people hate you. Okay? We all need to come to grips with that. The people in office, whether elected or bureaucratic, hate us. They sponge off us. They steal from us. You'd think they'd be grateful since we support their lifestyles and their children and their families. No, they're not grateful. They hate us. They want to kill us. I don't mean that in a figurative sense. Either. Look at the wars they start where they drag your kids off to fight people that never hurt them. Okay? They hate us. Come to grips with that. Understand government is totally evil. It is totally corrupt. We have to extirpate it by the roots. You know, that's the meaning of the word radical. You go back to the roots. We need to rip government out and eradicate it at the root. Once we've done that, Sam, we're then fit to fight for our freedom.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know it sounds like tough medicine, and you may or may not agree with Becky's solution entirely, but understand that we the people must get to grips on what the answers are. In other words, you can only take action if you know what direction you want to go, and the answer certainly isn't more government. I can promise you that. And the answer certainly is to restrict their money. If we're going to talk solutions, I think turning to our God is one of them. I think restricting their financial wherewithal is another. We need to chain them down with the Constitution. Becky would rip out government completely. I might not go that far, but I certainly agree with her premises that, you know what, these people literally are using everything we have against us. And the more we allow them to have money and to lord over us, then they just have greater resources to increase their abuse. I do have one teeny good piece of good news, if you will. Headline says this: Supreme Court tells Governor Newsom no way on restricting home-based religious gatherings. Is it enough? Of course not. But is it a start? I'd say so. I'd say the more we can worship freely, the better off we are. And I think that's one of the things that's been so egregious about this pandemic over the last year, is they have literally restricted religious freedom to the best of their ability. That alone was the whole purpose. You know, a lot of the patriots and founders even came to this country or came to these colonies or whatever you want to call it. They left their homelands. They seeked for and pushed for religious liberty. That's why, you know what, our nation is a religious nation. And if we jettison that, we also jettison the liberty that comes with that religion, and that religion being Christianity. Becky, your thoughts?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Sam. It is frightening to me how complicit the pastors of churches have been with all of this evil, okay? They've just kowtowed to government. They, as soon as governors suggested, in many cases, it wasn't even a mandate, but the governors simply suggesting, which I give the governors credit there for being very clever, okay? They know they haven't got the authority to shut down a church, so they just suggested that churches close. And by my estimates, 95% of American clergy leaped to obey. You had a few brave souls here and there that stayed open regardless, but overwhelmingly, American clergy obeyed. They paid attention to government, not God. Because what does the Bible say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We're to be meeting weekly to praise and worship the Lord, to confess our sins to Him and ask His forgiveness, to take His supper. You can't do that virtually, Sam. And yet pastors did not care. They shut down. They have betrayed their flocks exponentially. And I personally, and I'm sure many of you can tell the same type of story, I wrote to my pastor and I said to him, what are you doing? We should be open. We should be welcoming everybody now of all times. People need to hear the gospel. They need the hope and the assurance that God loves them. We need to be preaching that. We can't do that if we're shut. And his response to me was, don't question my decision. Okay, this is a totally corrupt, infiltrated church. These are pastors who are wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to get away from them. If you are a member of a church that closed, that when it reopened only at the governor's say-so, and then required satanic and communistic masks, you need to realize you are dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing. Tie yourself away from there as quickly as you can. Sam, I've had an experience at different churches over the last year, and I have finally come to where I'm having a home church. My family gathers for worship, and that's it. I have washed my hands of the established churches in this country because they are almost as hopelessly corrupt as government is.
And partly the reason that churches and religious leaders being corrupt, partly the problem with that is they more than any group make you feel like they're on God's side.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Becky Aker with me. We're talking about liberty. We're talking about how to fight for it. What do we do? What are the solutions? You know, I think turn to and trust in God Almighty is one of them. Turn to and trust in the God-ordained traditional family is another. Home church is one of the great solutions as well. The governor, Newsom, tried to ban home churches and everything else, and literally the courts, in a rare display of truth-telling, literally shut down Governor Newsom, who should be recalled, by the way, and arrested for his criminal activity. But really, religion is one of the keys here, folks, and they've been trying to restrict our ability to worship God Almighty. And you know what? For the most part, Becky's right. They've shut down churches and religious organizations everywhere. And we need to be careful and stand with those who are willing to turn to God, turn to family. And that's kind of where it starts. Becky, you're saying you've been having home church over the last year. We've been doing home church over the last year as well. And you know what? We need to make sure that worship is at the center of our solutions.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Sam. And let me say that prior to the pandemic, I was one of the established church's fiercest defenders. I would hear from readers who would say to me, I don't want to attend any church. I can't find a church that I like. You know, I'm just going to go out in nature and worship God. And I would tell them without fail, we are commanded to be members of the body of Christ. We are commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then you had the pastors themselves abandoning that. So I just want nothing further to do with the established American church. I'm a big fan of Voice of the Martyrs. If you're not familiar with that, I urge you to get on their website, vom.com, and read the stories of our brothers and sisters worldwide and what they put up with when they try to practice their faith, when they try to share their faith. Read of the torture they endure, okay? We have it so easy, and I think that has worked to the detriment of our churches here. They are, Sam, you know, another really disheartening fact about my contacting my pastor and trying to convince him not to close, I was the only person in the church who objected. The only one. This was like a 120-member church. The one person who said, shouldn't we be obeying God? Why are we obeying men? Shouldn't we follow the Lord, not the governor? I can't come to grips with that to this day. Then I went to a couple of other churches. I found one that was open when all others were closed. I thought, okay, here's a true shepherd. The only problem is I don't speak Serbian. It was a Serbian Orthodox church. And he told me, he said, we checked with the health department. We're not required to close. Okay, what does that say about all the other churches in the area that had closed? We're not required to close, okay? How disloyal, how unloving to our God that we're refusing to assemble and worship him as he's commanded us to do, okay? I attended the Serbian Orthodox Church for a while. Finally, I found a church. It had closed, but it reopened far earlier than others had. We started going there. We attended there for about 6 months. And get this, one morning, now, there were a few people wearing masks in the congregation, but overall, they weren't. They did scurry out as soon as the service was finished. Nobody fellowshipped afterwards, and I chalked that up to the shamdemic as well. There were other things like they for a while were requiring everybody to sit 6 feet apart and in different rows and that sort of nonsense. But most people weren't wearing masks. We got there one Sunday morning. Everybody is masked up. And I said to my husband, what in the world? The pastor stood up before preaching and said, whoever snitched on us to the health department, I wish you had come to me instead. I would have told you my convictions against wearing a mask. He's saying this through the mask he has now donned. Okay? Now, you talk about an unchristian, unloving thing to do, to snitch on your own brothers and sisters in the Lord. I went back a few Sundays after that. It is impossible to worship when you are looking around wondering who the rat fink is. Is it the guy ahead of me? Is it the guy behind me? Who is it? It's also very difficult to have any respect for a pastor who does not have the courage of his convictions. I even said to him when I greeted him after the service one time, you know, you said you have convictions against the mask. Please don't wear it anymore. He wouldn't even meet my eyes. Okay? This is what we're dealing with, folks. We are dealing with wusses who have not got the courage of their convictions. We are dealing with traitors to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dealing with men who, when a godless, atheistic governor suggests they close, they leap to obey. And would you like to know why? Because there are offices in every state I've checked. I haven't checked all 50, but the ones I have checked, I'll have them. There are offices that contain liaisons between your governor and your pastor. I think a lot of you have heard about these clergy response teams that the governments have been putting together, the various state governments, okay? That's what's going on. These clergy response teams are there. They recruit your pastor to turn you into a government-loving lackey who will obey, who, when the chips are down, when there's an emergency, quote, or a, quote, disaster, you will obey the armed agents coming to your home and ordering you into the truck that goes to the gulag, okay? That's what these pastors are doing, all right? I found out for a fact that there is such an organization, such an office in my state, and that they have been communicating with pastors throughout the state and indoctrinating them well before COVID ever hit us. Okay, so these guys were lined up and ready to go. We have been betrayed. All right, if you are wondering why your church is far more concerned about your physical health than it is your mental and spiritual, that's why. We have been sold down the river by the wolves in sheep's clothing in the pulpits.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my response to that, if we're talking about solutions, I mentioned turn to and trust in God. Turn to and trust in the traditional family. And third is pray for the return of the Black Robed Regiment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the great solutions we need in America as well, Becky.
Amen. 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 The Black Robed Regiment, I just pray God daily that he will raise up men like that. Now, Sam, there are several. As I mentioned, 5% of churches, by my estimate, that's not an official number, but I'm drawing on my readership, different readers who would write me and say, you know, everybody in my denomination, I correspond with a number of pastors. They'll tell me everyone but me and my denomination closed. One pastor supplied me with that 5% number, and I'm trusting his accuracy and trusting his perceptions. What we need is a regiment of pastors like they had during the American Revolution and well before the Revolution, who taught their congregations the sacred doctrine of liberty, who taught their congregations from the Bible that the state is satanic, government is satanic. Now, if you doubt that, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4 and read Christ's temptation in the wilderness when Satan takes him up on the mountaintop and says, look all around all these nations, and the word used there in the Greek means government, okay? It's not talking about the people in the nation. It's talking about the government. All these governments I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Now, folks, you can't give something you don't own. And Christ doesn't dispute him. He doesn't say, wait a minute, you don't own those governments. We own them. My father and I, we're the ones that own. No, the Lord doesn't say that. He tacitly acknowledges that Satan does, in fact, own political government. Let that sink in. Remember who crucified our Lord, who nailed him to the wood. Yes, our sins put him there, but who actually did the nailing? Government, okay? Because Satan owned it, and you can bet every bottom dollar you have that Satan was laughing himself silly as our Lord hung on that cross at the behest of Satan's institution, political government.
We talked about the 10 virgins, what it means to be ready on yesterday's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do is learn to collect a drop of oil at a time. Okay, the oil of the 10 virgins wasn't gathered all at once. Okay, it wasn't something that you could just simply go buy. It was something that you had to gather over time, a little bit at a time. You had to be focused. You couldn't make the mistakes of the 5 foolish virgins and just simply ignore. You had to work at it every single day, day in and day out. You had to turn to God. You had to humble yourself. You had to develop your spiritual side and your spiritual aptitude. There are spiritual muscles that need to be exercised. And okay, these are the keys to success, Becky, if we're going to make it through this tough time ahead. And I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet, but I do know Christ will come, and I do know he is readying his people for that wonderful, glorious event.
Absolutely, Sam. And he is sovereign and in control of all these Marxists, all these totalitarians with their great reset and their shamdemic. He is sovereign. He is in control. I don't let them upset me. I get very angry when I think about them, but I understand God is sovereign over them. They can't do anything he doesn't permit. And I comfort myself often with Psalm 2. It says, the Lord sits on his throne and laughs them to scorn. Every time Bill Gates opens his flapping gums, the Lord's laughing him to scorn. Every time Fauci gets on the air and lies, the Lord is laughing him to scorn. Every time Biden flaps his gums, the Lord is laughing him to scorn. Okay? All these Marxists that hope to subjugate us, the Lord is laughing them to scorn. So he's in control. He will protect us. His will be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, what is the oil in the lamps that Christ speaks of? Do you have the oil, or will you be shut out? How do you get the oil? Right? Do you possess enough oil for your lamp? Those are the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves. And one of the things, believe it or not, I believe home worship is a blessing, because it makes you realize you don't need a building. You don't need a pastor to turn to your God. What you need is the love of liberty, the love of truth, the love of God. And you know what? You can worship on your own. You can develop a relationship with Christ. You can shepherd your family in a meaningful way. And I think what we've kind of learned from the pandemic is we don't need a, quote, middleman with Jesus Christ. He is the middleman between us and our Father. He is the great mediator. And we don't need an earthly middleman, per se. That's something really to kind of understand, Becky.
Yes. Absolutely. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And for all the Catholics out there, my heartfelt sympathies for you that you think the Pope is your ticket to God. He is not. He is a Marxist. This current Pope is a disgrace, a criminal, a Marxist. Wise up, people. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Sadly, we're flat out of time before I wanted to be. I'm telling you right now, it is a God, family, country focus, ladies and gentlemen. And when I say country, I'm not talking about government. I'm talking about the principles of liberty. I'm talking about those who can advocate for that liberty. You know what? I've only got one life to give for my country. Sad tale to tell, right? By the way, speaking of that, check out Becky Akers' books. They're incredible. Just search for Becky Akers online. Abducting Arnold. That's one about Benedict Arnold, the other side of the story. Or Becky Akers' Hailstorm. Incredible book about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots ever to live. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. For Sam and Becky, we declare we the people can and will restore liberty. The only question left is, will you get involved? God save the Republic of the United States.